Good morning. We're in lesson four. We're not going to get done. So, I'm praying about next month, we are going to move on to a different topic. And we'll pick this up again at a time that maybe the Lord will lead us to go back in this topic. Beautiful sunshine. A lot of people are fishing. In the Philippines, when I go soul winning or I invite people to church, and they'll always say they'll come. They'll always say they'll come, like Saturday, or they'll come. We'll be there. We go to the next week to their house, and I said, you know what? You said you were going to be there last week. Man, something probably came up, you know? And Pastor, it was so hot, and it was hard to walk, and it was hot. I understand. Well, we'll see you tomorrow, right? Yeah. We'll be there tomorrow. It happens to rain. And the next week, they don't show up, obviously. Next week, you come and you ask them, so what happened? Pastor, it was really flooded where we were. And we couldn't come. And so that happened a lot. I'm like, you know what? They're just never going to come. Because the only weather that we have is either it's really hot or it's going to be rain all the time. I think it was just a polite way of saying to me, hey, get lost. We're not coming to your church. So I said, okay, I learned. I learned not to stop coming to their house. I just keep coming. I have some good news. We started with one young lady. Her name is Divine. What a name. That was our first area when we first got there, 2012. And right away, we were involved in community outreach, you know, and we went to that neighborhood where we happened to have an apartment at the time. Man, it was rough. They're all nice to you, but they don't have any commitments. It seemed to me like that they would go. Like, man, keep going a year, 2 years, a year. Then one time, this young little girl, about this big, said, my mom said I could come. And so she came. So I said, that's great. You know, that's a year into this, right? And every time I talk to people are getting saved all over the Philippines. But they don't want to come to church for some reason. I'm like, something is wrong. What is going on? You know, she finally came. She missed a couple times. A couple other girls came with her friends. She finally came. Then she got faithful. And she had made friends with people in the church. And then I was just hearing about it here a couple weeks ago. Bring it really to this now. After 10 years, and I'm not even there now. I'm here. Well, the entire family goes to church now. So that's the dad. He was the last to come. There was a mom. And she's the oldest at the time. She's got a brother, a sister, a brother, a brother, a brother. So that whole family is coming to church. I know for a fact that the sister, the brother, her mom, her dad got baptized. And I'm hearing they're doing Bible study in people's church. Like if you're a member of our church, we'll go to your house and you invite your friends to your house. They do that on off nights. And they're doing it to her place. And now there's five other people coming to church because of them opening their home. And guess what? Guess what gives me? It's worth it. Going and telling people about Jesus. It might come in the form of a little girl. But what the potential we don't see, right? So don't despise small things. Don't despise small things, and don't be discouraged. You look at your class and say, I only got one person in it. I got two person in it. Don't despise small things, all right? If you're not lazy and you're praying, you're going to reach people. You're making an effort to reach people. Maybe you need to do more. Maybe to sacrifice more of your convenience and your comfort and go out there and make some more contacts. If you're doing all of that and you're praying, and the people are not coming, guess what? It's not up to us. It's up to God to bring that. Do you really believe that? And that's when I come and I see that the church is very empty, I don't get discouraged. Why? Because I know I'm doing my job. I've been praying. I'm going out soul winning. I'm trying, right? Now, I would be discouraged if we're saved and we know we're saved and we don't do anything of any form of outreach ourselves personally. That's when I'm scared, okay? And that's when I would challenge you, why not? Why not? Why not find a way that you can reach people? Your way, all right? God gives us many ways. Looking back to the lessons here, we started with prayer, list five people. Then we talked about writing your testimony out and memorizing it. Then we talked about leaving a gospel tract in a place where there's people that wait and sit, like a dental office or a hospital. Then we talked about making a habit of it, making sure that you have a gospel tract present with you at all times. Yesterday, Pastor Cole, Mrs. Cole, Pastor Seth, and I were in a party. Mrs. Grace Steffi celebrated 100 years. And there was a lady that sat with us, and Pastor Seth and I sat together. And the lady started talking to Pastor Seth and talking to us. We're just having a good time talking, you know. And eventually she asked, and she brought it up on a spiritual topic. Now, she ended up being saved, but guess what? I had a gospel tract in the car, and Pastor said, "You have gospel tracts? I'll go get one." And so I went and got one and then gave it to her, okay? We never know maybe where God's going to use us, you know. And so we need to be ready. So a gospel tract in that. Make a habit of having it with you. If you don't know already, John chapter number 3 and verse 16, it'd be something good that we memorize and that we would know. The gospel is packed in that one verse. You really got the principle of the gospel in there. And then we talked about the last time, give a tract to a server in a restaurant or a cashier at a fast food counter, a clerk at a convenience store, a grocery store, the drive-through window or a coffee shop, where you pay. You know where you pay, where you buy product and you pay. A gas tender, if you're going, like for us, we live around Irving and a lot of them have full service and there's a guy that pumps our gas. So if I don't recognize that person, I give him a gospel tract. If I recognize him, if I already give him one, I don't try to keep giving them one over and over. But once in a while, I'll give him again, you know, a month or two. So get very, very, very in your mind, always thinking about souls. Thinking about souls, because that's one of the things God told us to do. Some of these verses, in fact, all of these verses are very familiar to me. I'm sure it's going to be very familiar to you. But look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. We'll stay there for now. We'll go ahead and pray. And then if anybody have a quick testimony, they can say, I'll give you that time. Lord, we come to you today. We're asking that you empower us. I'm asking, Lord, that you'd give us a burden. I pray that you would put upon our hearts the emphasis, Lord, that there are souls that need you. And that you would give us a unique way maybe to... You know our personality very well. You know those that are outgoing. You know those that are introverted. And you know how we struggle with fear. You know that sometimes our life is very busy. And it's something that we don't put an emphasis on maybe. Lord, I pray that you'd guide us individually. Guide us, Lord. Show us a way where we can be effective, Lord, to share your word. Whether it be a small gospel tract that we hand out or a special gospel tract, maybe we even write ourselves. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to find a way and help us, Lord, to be looking for a solution rather than looking for excuses not to do it. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Anybody might quick testimony about the things that I talked about here? We're going to keep it to this focus. Okay, you gave a gospel tract out or you did something to that effect and you see somebody maybe reading it or something like that. Anything? Anybody maybe gave a gospel tract and something unique happened or you want to share? Anybody? Good. All right. We'll keep it down for now. If you're like most Christians, you really have a genuine desire to share your faith. You really do. I know that when I talk to you. A lot of you I know, when I talk to you, you have ideas, you have opinions, and you have preferences. You're a human being, all right? And part of that is that you do want to share your faith. So I feel that you have that, okay? You have that desire. But you struggle with knowing how to share that or where to begin. How do I talk about this? Okay? Some do. We pray that you've already been blessed by the two sharing exercises we've done. Okay? This next lesson will help us to start a casual conversation. Okay? That can lead to a sharing opportunity. It's not as scary or difficult as you might think. Okay? A lot of times, it's harder for those that maybe are not wanting to speak. You know, somebody that maybe doesn't want to say anything. All right? Sharing God's word with others is essential to you in having a complete life in God. All right? I think the scripture tells us that. All right? The scripture tells us that. The only thing you're going to bring with you in any kind of impact is souls being saved. That could be your children. All right? If you God gave you children, you might be able to lead them to the Lord. Okay? Let's skip some of these here. Sharing doesn't have to be complicated or difficult. Okay? Giving someone a gospel tract is remarkably easy. All right? This small booklet is very attractive. We got very nice looking gospel tracts. And it's convenient to carry most of the time. All right? And easy to read. Best of all, it's God's precious word, not human words. Although it's got some human words in there to explain some things, most of it is the word of God. You can hardly get wrong. It's not wrong what we're giving out. We're not trying to deceive anybody. We're not trying to make them do things that are unreasonable. We're not trying to cheat them. You know, we're going with good intentions. We want them to know Jesus, okay? So rest in that, and that motive and that attitude when you go and give it to them. It'll help you. It'll help you. We're not selling anything, all right? Now, in the sense of we are selling the truth. We're trying to get them to see the truth. We compel them, the Bible word, okay? We're not selling anything. We're not trying to gain money from them, okay? And it's the word of God, and the word of God is perfect. And you'll find, and I would have to admit this, since I started here in this area, I was very scared because of what I heard. But when I did it, guys, there's hardly anybody that said no. Hardly anybody has said no to me in the few months that I've done it. So what is it that we are hesitant about? Why is it that we're so hesitant to give the greatest news that we have ever had given to us, and yet we're so scared to give it out? What? Who has sealed our mouths about it? Who has caused us to be silent about the greatest thing that ever happened to us? Why? And what is it that keeps us from sharing the truth? I don't know. I don't know for you. Okay, for me, I don't want to be rejected. Right? I don't want to be rejected. Especially if I'm doing something, I'm not trying to hurt you, I have the greatest intention, and I give it to you and you yell at me. Or you say, I don't need that. Or some people curse. And that turns me off. Right? I guess that is for me and maybe for you. But the truth is, it has to be bigger than my feelings. It has to be bigger than my feelings. Because it's their life. It's their soul. I can get hurt, but someday in heaven I'll forget it. I forget that. I even forget it here. But their soul is in peril. It's in condemned already. The Bible says in John chapter 3, it's condemned already. Okay? It's not that they're going to get in trouble. They're already in big trouble. And we need them to know that they're in bad shape and that they need us. They need the gospel. They need Jesus Christ, what we're giving to them. So I got key points about sharing that may help us, our perspective, the way we look at it. It's very simple things. And we might have heard this before, but I want to highlight it again and keep it in our mind. Okay? Keep it in our mind as we go about our day, as we see people around us. God may use some of the things here. Number one, just key points about sharing your faith. Expect divine appointments. Expect divine appointments. You can't plan them, although some try. All right? Like Saturday, I'm going to go soul winning. Okay, I'm going to plan every Saturday, I'm going to go soul winning. My family's doing that. Every Saturday, we're going to go door knocking. Now, last Saturday was raining, so we couldn't do it. And we postponed it. But we're going to try every Saturday. My family's going to go out. That's a plan that that as a family, we're deciding to do. So you could do that. But other times, like my wife and my daughter had an encounter that was not planned. It was not at all planned. But if you hear that testimony, and she's not here again, she's watching the baby there. I wish she was here. But maybe next time she can give that testimony. It was pretty neat. Pray for and be on the lookout for God-ordained sharing opportunities. We talked about opportunities and pray for them. Remember the first lesson? God created and has uniquely prepared you for good works. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 10. In fact, it's tied in with your salvation. You know Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. But then the reason partly of your being saved is look at verse number 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. In them. And so God even says in Matthew 5:16, very, very, very familiar verse, that let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And then what? Glorify God, your Father, which is in heaven. He loves to answer your prayers that you would be used to bring the kingdom of God to those you meet. I think that would be in his will, and you'll find that in another point here. God is wanting souls to be saved. Would you think that? That's why he sent his only son to die. I think he was purposed for that. I think he really wants this. The question is, do you really want to be a part of his salvation message portrayed and proclaimed across the world? I can't make you want to do this. You have to want to do it. You have to be convinced by God that this is something that I need part of my life. Okay? Part of a Christian that obeys, part of a Christian is victorious, that Christian shares their faith. So if you're not sharing your faith, then you're missing out on a Christian life, part of it at least. We're emphasizing soul winning, and part of a Christian, a real, true Christian, all right, not a religious one, but a true Christian shares their faith in a genuine way. They really do. They tell somebody about the greatest thing that ever happened to them, okay? Part of the reason I went to the Philippines is because I was a Filipino. And I heard the gospel. And what great news I can give to the people that I understand, that I know, that I lived the way they lived. And so that's why I went. Okay? And I was telling them, hey guys, I got something that I want you to have. Right? Number two here, key points about sharing. expect divine appointments, number one, and then say no to fear. Say no to fear. Say no to fear. Tell yourself, no, I'm not going to be afraid. How many times I feel very, it's, now that I'm teaching this, I wish you could teach it. Because then God will say, well, you're saying something you're not doing yourself. And we were at Burger King, and they got the greatest deal for a family. Can't afford McDonald's. I don't know what they're doing. And I can eat under $20 as a family at Burger King, $40 at McDonald's. I'm like, come on, I can't do that. I can't do that. So, yeah, I know back in the day you can eat cheaper than that. I'm just trying to make you realize, people, it's a different life we're living, okay? Calm down. And so what happens is this. Right there, when the cashier is about to give me my receipt, I time it. That's when I give. Because the last moment of contact, I'm going to give this gospel track and kind of like drive as fast as I can to the next place. And you know, there's times that God is saying, give a gospel track. And you know what I do? I don't. I surely say, no, I'm not doing it. This guy don't know what he's doing. And he's tattooed up. He's not going to want my gospel track. And I walked away. Now, there's other times that God says the same thing. And it's that burning feeling. I don't know if you feel this, but there's something inside of you that the back of you, the neck gets warm. And I'm not trying to be spooky at you, but it's just that apprehension that, I just don't really want to do this. And God says, do it. Give a gospel track. You know? And times I do. I do give a gospel track. Okay? It says here in Ephesians 6. You're still in Ephesians, right? Chapter number 6. And verse number 12. For we wrestle. And it is a fight. Right? You feel it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You want to change a culture, then you want to plant this truth in the culture. You have to, the disciples were acclaimed and they were commended. This, and the Bible talks about that they turned the world upside down. What were they doing that made them turn the world upside down? Anybody know? What were they doing? What did the disciples immediately do after Jesus left? They were witnessing. We're complaining about America being dark. We're complaining about shootings. We're complaining, not complaining, we're saddened. We're scared. You know, I went to Walmart. I've never seen it before, but a Walmart there in Hamburg, Southwestern Boulevard. There was a police officer that greeted us. He's got a gun. Okay? We were in shopping. There's a lot of people there. And a ton of people there. Yesterday, Saturday. And I'm like, whoa. This is the life. This is the place we're living. And my wife looked at me and said, and I don't feel it sometimes. You know, men, sometimes you're out of touch with your emotion. And that could be bad sometimes. But control your emotion, but it's not wrong to be emotional sometimes. And that's even a bad term. But be sensitive. That's a better word. And when you come in, my wife looked at me and goes, you know what? I feel better. I'm like, wow, I never even thought that she felt that way. To me, I'm invincible. And I'm walking ahead of them, and I don't realize I have four kids with me. That if something were to happen, what would I do? Right? I don't want to scare you or anything. But I'm just telling you, life is changing. Life is changing around us. And you cannot ignore that. But at the same time, you cannot be paralyzed with fear. And if you want to impact that world, you have to do what the disciples did. They went about talking about God. That's the hope of this world, is the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth that you and I possess in our hearts, that we know. Let's let them know. If you want to impact this world, we have to be out there telling them about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Right? That will impact them. The enemy hates what you're doing and will scream in your ear that the other person is not interested. Have you ever heard that? In fact, most of the time, before I hand the gospel tract to somebody, the feeling and the thought I have, they're not going to want it. Do you feel that? There's a lot of battle in the mind. It's so weird. Like, what in the world? It's a piece of stinking paper. Why do I have such a hard time? Because it's also a spiritual battle, and you have to say no to fear. The enemy hates you. Or another thing is, not that he's interested, he will be offended and lashed out you and reject you because you spoke about Jesus. You'll feel afraid and you won't know what to say and you will look stupid. You ever heard that? Because we're Americans, we need to be confident. We need to be always on top, you know, and we can never fail. It's not part of our DNA. So when you want to do this, a lot of the roadblock is, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not confident enough. And so that stops us. We don't want to look foolish. I don't want to look foolish. Okay? However, these are fears that are driven by spiritual warfare. All right? It's a battle in the mind, battle in your heart. In practice, they almost never happen. Almost never happen. They do happen. But almost never. Like I'm telling you, I'm giving you an honest testimony. As we went out door knocking around here, as we give out gospel tracts in the grocery store, as we give out gospel tracts anywhere we can find, and the Lord leads us to give it to them, we have not been rejected. And times it's by myself. Okay, Joel, you got a little kid. No, I don't have Mariah with me all the time. I don't have her in my pocket and say, hey, here's a little kid. Can't reject me. You know, that doesn't happen all the time that I have Mariah with me. Now, it's a plus. If you have Mariah, I told you, you can take them. Take them. Just feed them and bring them up in one piece. And I'll rent them to somebody else. Right? So, they're precious merchandise. We worked hard to get them. Okay? Even those in those rare times, the person to whom you offer the gospel says no, a lot of times they will be polite. Okay? A lot of times they will be polite to you. No, no, thank you. Okay? Remember that the Lord may be using their rejection of his word as a way to get their attention. You ever notice about that? I say this and to be joking and funny. If you're happy because I did something for you, you'll remember me. But if I do something to you that makes you mad, guess what? The same effect happens. You'll still remember me. And so sometimes they might not want the gospel right there, but by you making an emphasis and saying, here's a gospel track, that person might say no, but you still won. Why? For a split second in their life, they had to make a choice. You talked about God. That came in their mind. And at one point or another, more people keep doing that. They might at one point say, you know what? Let me take that gospel track. Because we don't know what's happening to them. We don't know what the Lord's doing in their life, but God's working in their heart. And a rejection is as good as an acceptance. You're not getting it. You're like, no, I'm not buying into that. I'm not buying into that. You're tricking me now. You're not buying into that. Well, let's buy into that. When you give them a gospel track, they have to make a choice. You engage them. In a situation, they know what it is. I had a Burger King. I love Burger King. They're cheap. And they're grilled, not fried. That's why, you know, it's not as big as it could be. Here's the thought. You know, one of the excuses they give me, I can't take that because of COVID. Well, then I can't take your food because of COVID. What's the difference between me and you? You're handling it. You don't have no gloves. They got gloves. They got it on their roster. They have gloves. Any bathroom you go to in the restaurant, as an employee, you wash your hands. They should put, as a customer, wash your hands. That would help too. But customers, we're immune. We don't have to wash our hands. It's crazy because of the politics, you know, the regulations. But it's funny. So you're going to give me a piece of paper, and there's food in the piece of paper, but I'm going to give you a piece of paper. You can't take it because of COVID. Man, that happened one time. That happened one time. Most of the time, they'll say, oh, thank you. Oh, thanks. Oh, I go to a church, and they start a conversation. I'm like, whoa, I'm not ready for that. And they start, there's a lot of people behind us. I'm worried for your job. You know, let's not talk about where you having disciple Bible study. They're talking about that. On the fast food, on the drive-thru. I had a lady said, yeah, I'm bringing my kids. We're starting to go. Well, they don't go to our church, but I'm like, great, because you need it. The world needs what we have. You don't know how much they need what we have. And it's not because we're special we have it, but because of God's grace we have it. And what are we doing about it? Are we impacting a world? I had an idea. I was in the park with a couple from our church. There's a ton of people. I'm like, what? I thought America don't do this. He said, well, kids are not around. They're not out. That night, they were all over. My kids made some friends. They were on first name basis. Micah did something. And that was funny to watch. The culture difference, you know. He was reprimanded by a father because he was being stupid. And I told him, apologize. Go to the dad and apologize. And he did. And I think that went well. And that guy talked to us after that for a long time. Just chatting. I wish I had a gospel track and maybe give it to him. Maybe it was not the right time at that point. I don't know. But there's people out there. There's people all over the place. And don't get caught up in what we talked about here, that they're not interested, that they're going to reject you. Some might, but not all. Some might, but not all. Okay? Number three, we're doing really good. Remember that God is infinitely more powerful than the enemy. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Look at Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22, verse 31 to 32. God is doing the work. Who saved us? Was it a soul winner that saved us? Was it a preacher that saved us? Was it our grandma that saved us? Was it our mom and dad that saved us that were Christians? No, it was God that saved us. Each person here today that are saved, God saved you. He used the person, but God does the work. The enemy has no authority that God hasn't approved. Okay? Look at Luke. If you're there, Luke at chapter number 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. And God is doing that. He's the advocate. Jesus Christ, the righteous. He goes in behalf of us and pray to the Father. And the Holy Ghost helps our prayers and brings it to the Father. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus has already won the victory through his shed blood at Calvary. The hardest part of salvation has been done. The hardest part of salvation has been done. All right? It's already been purchased. It's not going to cost you as much as it's cost Jesus Christ. The Bible says his soul went to hell. It's not going to cost you to go to hell. No more. Hallelujah. He saved us from that. He saved us from all of that. We have now a bright future. We got heaven and the glories of heaven. And all he's saying is, along the way of your life, I purposely put you there. I orchestrated your life. I gave you a free will. And I'm asking you, son, I'm asking you, daughter, could you use some of your free will, the time you have, the efforts, the energy, the resources you have, can you tell someone else what you know? Tell them about me. Tell them that they too can be saved. And God is asking us, my friends, and he says, I've already defeated the enemy. I have won the victory. All you have to do is shout it out and say, God has won. That's all we have to do. What a great story to tell. And if they reject us, they don't know what they're rejecting. They don't. You know what happens? You know what happens? Jackie Chan said this. I'm not going to give my wealth to my children. You know why? they're not going to appreciate it. Human beings, sometimes we fall to this. If it's free, we treat it with less value. Do you feel that? If you give me something for free, I don't treat it as much as I would treat something I work hard for and I wanted and bought and invested my own money. Correct? That's a fault we have as a human being. You know that because you have kids. And you're the one that tells them, I bought you that shoes. You know how much invested you are in that shoes? That kid don't care. He's going to rip it up the first day. It's cupped up. It's falling apart. Super glue. Here we come. Brand new shoes. Kid looks at you, sorry, and then walks away. It doesn't keep them awake at night that they ruined that shoe. Who stays up at night? You, because you invested in there. So maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we have settled in the fact, well, the gospel is free, but it ain't cheap. A divine blood was shed for it. It was not free. It was not cheap. And maybe for this instance, we'll take away that free mentality and say, hey, God, you gave your best, and I have it. And man, I'm going to value it. I'm going to value it so much that I'm going to do what you tell me to do with it. I'm going to share it because it's so valuable. It'll never lack. It'll never run out. It'll never run out, you know? God has been preparing hearts to receive his truth long before you ever saw those people. You are simply the messenger, put in the right time and place to accomplish what God has already planned for you to do and say. Be obedient when the Lord nudges you to share a gospel with someone. Your faith will grow as you answer God's call and share the truth and with that person. I'm going to talk about that, maybe an obedient Christian life. I kind of hit on a couple messages I preached lately. But I want to do a deep study on it and what affects us obeying or not obeying. And maybe that's the Lord's direction for us next month. I want to talk about Christian obedience. But maybe. We don't know. Not sure for it. But the thought here is that the question is, are we obedient to share the truth? Quickly. Number four. Share how God has blessed your life. I'm not going to take a lot of time in there. We already gave you, write your testimony out. And that is you telling them that God has blessed you with salvation yourself. You were once this way. God changed you. Make it brief. Make it short. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But look at John chapter number 1. It's a very familiar verse again. Very famous. Very, very well known. John chapter number 1 and verse 12. Okay? And the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. God all along is planning and was hoping and praying and working in our lives to see us get saved, okay? Remember that God has done in your life, no matter what your physical or financial situation is, God has blessed you in many ways. The most important being that he has called you as one of his precious children. He has saved you. One of the most powerful ways to lead someone to the Lord is to simply tell them how your life changed before and after you received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do you remember the short testimony we talked about, right? So use that at this time. You know, there was a blind beggar, a story in the scripture in the John chapter number 9. You don't have to turn there. John chapter 9, verse number 25. The blind beggar who was healed by Jesus was overjoyed with his blessing, and he proclaimed simply this. This is his testimony. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. That was his testimony. That was his testimony after meeting Jesus Christ. It wasn't elaborate, it wasn't big, but he had a testimony. Jesus touched my life, and now I was this, now I'm this. Number five and last, we're done for this week with this. View people through God's eyes. When you see a person, look through God's eyes at their eternal soul. Think of the hopelessness they have without Christ. Think of the joy that they will have as they meet Jesus and are filled to the overflowing with the Father's love. Ultimately, it will be their decision, but God does not want anyone to perish. And we know 2 Peter 3:9. What does the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want anybody to perish, and he uses Christian to reap his spiritual harvest. All right? So these five key points here a little bit. As you share the gospel, think them over and see what God will do. Lord, bless us as we're dismissed. Bless our next hour. Thank you for the wonderful sunshine, the wonderful day. Thank you for our brothers and sisters here. I pray, Lord, if there's anybody needing a prayer request and might not even be able to say it, unspoken request, Lord, work in their hearts. Show them you love them, and I know you do. Lord, I pray you encourage us to share you with somebody. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.